Williams, and I'm back here, gratefully back here with the Zesty Garden, which is my wonderful, my fun time to read things that I love and share them with you. And since it's January and we are in Utah, there's not a whole lot any of us can do in an outside garden at this point. And there's a limit to how many things we can find that are worth sharing from the seed catalogs. So I will be sharing with you some of my other garden-related favorites. One of those comes from one of my favorite cookbooks called With a Measure of Grace, The Story and Recipes of a Small Town Restaurant, which is written about probably my favorite restaurant in Utah right now, Hell's Backbone Grill, which is down in Boulder, Utah. So it's an area that I have long loved in southern Utah. And the stories and the recipes from this restaurant are just delightful. I hope you enjoy them. I'm going to start with a little introduction to the two women who run this restaurant and how they happened to get there from Flagstaff, Arizona. So I'm going to read you from the cookbook a piece that precedes the recipes by Terry Tempest Williams, also a fine Utah writer, called Prayer Flags in the Desert. She writes, "It was with some trepidation that I left the town of Torrey and drove down Highway 12, heading toward Boulder for a gathering of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. I realized that I hadn't been in Garfield County since the spring of 1997, when the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument was less than a year old. Back then, the town seemed raw. The new monument, yet another insult, threatening their unabashed frontier lifestyle. Most residents made themselves emotionally off-limits to outsiders who visited the wild and vast areas now federally protected. The rest were just plain mad and not hesitant to show it. Dark glares beneath sweat-stained ball caps, curtly spoken, few-worded answers to innocent questions, one-dimensional exchanges in convenience stores, no conversation, no eye contact, only money moving hand to hand. The air was cold and thick with unspoken resentments. Locals saw no need for more protection of the landscape they'd assumed was theirs since Brigham Young sent their ancestors down to spread his gospel. Why protect godforsaken land that had done a fairly good job of protecting itself? They saw the new monument only from the perspective of rural economics. Any additional protection would attract more people, making a difficult living more so. Tourists were a nuisance and a distraction from the real work of real people. But not everyone feels this way. The red-hot sandstone is a magnet for passionate engagement, a sensual landscape that inspires love, a wild terrain to be explored and respected. For decades, people from all over the United States have become involved in efforts to protect Utah's Red Rock Wilderness. The Escalante Canyons are at the heart of this proposal. America's Red Rock Wilderness Act is now a bill before Congress, with hundreds of co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, dozens of sponsors committed in the Senate, all of whom acknowledge the rarity of this landscape of the imagination. Red rocks and ravens, serpentine canyons, and maidenhair ferns that decorate water-drenched grottos seep into our DNA. We are changed on a cellular level and begin to see the world differently. We remember why the desert is holy, a place for pilgrims in search of peace. We touch stone and find an opening. Erosions of rock inspires an erosion of our own calcified nature. I was nervous to return to Boulder. The last time I was there, somebody threw a rock at my car. I didn't understand until later when I realized I had a Wild Utah sticker on my rear bumper. Coming from rural Mormon stock myself, I understood the grimness, the grittiness, the calluses, the leave-me-alone nature of scraping a living out of the very canyons whose beauty attracts travelers from around the world. I wish there were a bridge between these seemingly different worldviews that could move us across the chasm of us versus them. But it's a difficult bridge to find. Even harder one to build or to hold within one's own heart. But in May 2003, when I checked into Boulder Mountain Lodge, something had changed. It felt different. I looked around. An elegant, lush garden with a statue of Buddha in the center greeted me. Daylilies waved in the breeze. Prayer flags hung outside Hell's Backbone Grill. And then I remembered hearing about the two women who had taken over the restaurant a few years earlier. Word was these women were outsiders, like the rest of us, only different. They came to Boulder not just to hike and commune with the desert, but to live and work. They hired the children of local ranchers, grew most of their own food, and created recipes that corresponded to what was available in each season. And no, they were not Mormons like 90% of those who live in Boulder, but somehow that didn't matter. These two women, I found out later that night at dinner, are Blake Spaulding and Jen Castle. They came to Boulder from Flagstaff, Arizona, with enormous skill, developed during years of cooking for commercial river companies and in other remote campgrounds around the American West. They brought with them baskets of instinct and secrets about the power of food and its potential for glory. Blake sat down with us at our table. Our eyes met. We shared stories. She told of going to the town council meeting shortly after they arrived in Boulder and explaining how in order to make this restaurant a viable business, they would need a liquor license. This issue had come up before the town on a previous occasion with a different restaurant owner and had been deeply divisive within the community. The women conveyed their respect for Mormon beliefs and that they meant no harm. The community listened to the calm, thoughtful approach of this new enterprise that promised to feed an open spirit of cooperation in town. Finally, one of the LDS councilmen said, "Nobody ever talked to us like this before. They only yelled." He paused. "I'm going to have to think hard about this." Hell's Backbone Grill received its liquor license, and its doors have been open ever since, delighting travelers who come for rest and sanctuary at Boulder Mountain Lodge. The locals are developing a particular pride around the restaurant. It has become an oasis in the desert. I stood outside after dinner watching dusk glow on the cliffs before they turned dark and disappeared. Call it the encore light that glistens long after the sun sets. I took in deep breaths, aware of the fresh mint recently planted, and thought about how good this place felt, how peaceful, with much of the rawness and glares gone, and how change is possible when two people accept the power that they have to make a difference in the world. Blake and Jen brought something with them when they came to Boulder, Utah, something that can't be measured or named. Call it spirit, or knowledge with a capital K, or just plain guts, but whatever their gifts, they allow us to see the magic that occurs when we choose to come to a place with an intention to create history. What I love most about Hell's Backbone Grill is its ongoing story of restoration and reconciliation within a community known for its contention. It is not easy to enter a new town, especially a town like Boulder, Utah, that prides itself on insiders, locals, and natives. Genealogy is the primary ticket for access, and it is especially difficult to enter a Mormon community in the outback and ask for a liquor license, a request that first rolls down the aisle of the church like a cherry bomb, threatening to shatter the dominant culture's word of wisdom that forbids coffee, tea, and alcohol. But this is exactly what Blake Spaulding and Jen Castle did in the spring of 2000. They asked the citizens of Boulder, Utah for a spiritual accommodation. "We listened," said Blake. "We listened to the people who live here and share our belief in a vision of beautiful food and beautiful country. Many folks said we were crazy, that we wouldn't be able to find staff, that we wouldn't be able to keep our doors open in such remote country. But both Jen and I felt called to this landscape." I thought about that bridge I'd been wishing for and realized that a bridge might be too fragile and therefore temporary. What Blake and Jen have quietly done is fill in that gap, that dividing space between neighbors, with mindfulness, and they have filled it with the sacred nature of food. The Buddha says breathing is a quivering intake of life. At Hell's Backbone Grill, so is eating. There are many forms of grace, especially in the desert. It is a landscape of prayers where one falls on hands and knees in gratitude for the splash of water that is not a mirage. Hell's Backbone Grill is a place of such grace. It is water in the desert. The name is harsh like the country, but if you dare to enter in, dust off your shoulders and let your eyes adjust to the peace outside and inside, you will find within its unexpected embrace deep nourishment born out of struggle and love. What lingers after a slow, thoughtful dinner is love. We are reminded through the creative hands of these believing women that daily renewal is possible through the loving gesture of a meal dreamed and shared. I'm going to share with you a recipe from Hell's Backbone Grill. I have to confess I haven't made it, but it is a fabulous recipe and I'm going to make it. So it is also one of their signature recipe. They wanted to have a signature sauce. And so they came up with something they call backbone sauce. And they write, "We consider this an upgrade of Utah's unofficial condiment, fry sauce, ketchup, and mayonnaise. It's delicious on a grilled burger with melted sharp white cheddar and caramelized onions, on BLTs, or as a dip for artichokes." Here is the simple but fabulous recipe for backbone sauce. Half a cup of sour cream, a cup of mayonnaise, one or two chipotle peppers, include the adobo sauce in which they're packed, 2 tablespoons of cumin, 2 cloves of roasted garlic, 1 red pepper roasted and peeled, the juice of 1 lime, and 2 tablespoons of chopped cilantro. In a food processor fitted with a blade, whirl together everything, all the ingredients. Scrape down the sides and process till it's smooth. End of recipe. We can all do that, right? Try it. You won't be sorry. I'm Nancy Williams for Zesty Garden. You can find that recipe on the webpage for Zesty Garden at upr.org. Click the link for Zesty Garden, and it will be at the end of this reading. Bon appetit, or however you say that in Spanish, because that's what it should be. See you next time.